chapter 50. You have your notes on the back of the bulletin, and you probably grabbed that right away when you walked in, and you thought, oh boy, oh Lord, here we go. And I'm just going to give you encouragement to know that this message is going to get personal. And it's going to hit us all right where we're living. And we need it. I believe God has something ready and planned for this church. I believe that He has a plan for you that's going to blow your mind. And that this body of believers is going to see such awesome, miraculous, amazing, God, divine appointed moments that you could write a book. I really believe that in my spirit, that we are just on the verge of seeing God's greatness in this community, in this church, and other churches as well. And we have to get there by going through the tough times along the way. I want you to see something that I think is so powerful in Genesis 50. Verse 15. You probably know the story of Joseph. Maybe you don't. It's possible you don't. Because so many today are missing out on some of the greatest basic instructions of all, and that's Sunday school. I love Sunday school because it teaches the basics of God's stories from the beginning to the end. And I'm so thankful we still have Sunday school in our church. Hallelujah. But I'm amazed. We got a great bunch of youth coming to our youth program on Wednesday night. We had 20 kids there this last week. I miscounted. I missed one. We had 20. And so many of them don't have a clue about what God's really all about. They don't know about the Bible stories. And it's like, wow, Lord, I got my work cut out for me here. Because it's easy to tell a story when everybody knows the story. And just move on to the point. Here's the point. But when you mention a story and they all look like, now what I do? It makes my job a little harder. But that's okay. I'm so thankful they're coming. I'm just excited. What's your home church? Well, this is our home church. I'm like, oh, wow, awesome. So Genesis 50, getting back to subject, verse 15. Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead. And they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? That's a great question. You see, Joseph was a young man that was loved by his father more than the other brothers were. Now, you might say, well, that's just not fair. Well, remember when I talked about a marriage that got off on the wrong foot? Where he woke up in the morning realizing as he had consummated the marriage with his bride that it wasn't his wife that he planned on? Hello, Leah, what are you doing in my bed? Right? Where's Rachel? Well, Rachel wasn't there. And so he had another wedding shortly after Jacob was able to marry again. He had to give 7 more years labor to the father, so he basically gave 14 years for 2 brides. Well, Leah had many children. Rachel ended up with only 2. Joseph was the first one. The woman that he loved dearly and planned on marrying all along happened to be the mother of Joseph. And so Joseph was dearly loved by his father, and he was treated with more honor than the others. And I understand that because of the situation that brought it all about. The other brothers resented him. As a matter of fact, it got to such a degree that they hated him, and they intended to kill him. One of the brothers spoke up because he had enough honor left in him that he said, you know what, let's not actually kill him. Let's just make it look like he died by a wild boar or some other wild animal. Not a wild boar, but they used a pig to bring blood on the coat of many colors. A very special gift from the father. And so the backstory is terrible. Joseph, who was loved and kind and in all appearances, did nothing wrong, was hated because his father happened to love him above the others. And then they decided to get rid of him. They sold him to a slave trader. He went into the slave society, and he had some major ups and downs. Things didn't go well, and then they went well, and then they didn't go so well. Everything was great, and then everything was terrible, and he just had these ups and downs, and ultimately, he ends up sitting next to Pharaoh, second in command over all of Egypt. A man who had no right to be there. A slave who happened to rise up in the ranks because of his God-fearing love for mankind in general, the way he honored and treated the king, and the way that he served God with honor was seen and understood and was, wow, this guy's amazing, and he can interpret my dreams, and the story gets to where he's actually in command over so many people. His brothers were starving along with the rest of the family. They come to Egypt because that's the only place that still had food because of the dreams that Joseph was given. Joseph was in charge of distributing the food, and he was able to give his brothers food. At first, they didn't even know who he was. How could they? And he ends up giving them the very life-giving sources that they needed to go back home, and he asked them some pointed questions about his father, about his brother, who was the only other one born to Rachel, and he was like, where's my brother? I want to see him, and you know the story if you've read it. If not, you should take some time, grab that Old Testament and begin to read. It's pretty awesome. But now his father's dead, and they're like, oh no, dad's the only one that was keeping him from annihilating us. He has every right to hate us. He's going to come after us now, boys. We're in big trouble. And so they're worried because the father's gone, and now he's going to get us like he should, because they were guilty of horrible sin. They went and sent word to Joseph, saying, verse 16, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. Now why did he weep? Probably not for the reason you think. Did his father really send that message? I don't know. They might have lied, as far as I know. I don't know. They could have lied just to hope that maybe they'll persuade him not to kill him, like they knew they deserved. But he weeps. Verse 18, the brothers came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? I am not the judge of your sin. Only God can judge you, is basically what he was trying to say to them. I am not in that position. Yeah, I'm second in command to all of Egypt. Pharaoh is the only one above me. But I am not the one that will judge you. As a matter of fact, he wept, I believe, because he was hurt that they thought he could do such a thing. How could you think I would harm you? You're my brothers. He says, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? And here's where it really boils down to reality. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Whoa! Whoa! Wow, here is a man that is so mature in his faith that he's able to look at the circumstances that got him to where he is and recognize God brought me here. God is the one who had this in mind all along. You guys are simply the tools in his hands. Verse 21, so then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. I want you to see something that goes along with this. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 puts perspective on the life of Joseph, and I believe it puts perspective on my life. I believe it puts perspective on your life. I believe it puts perspective on this church and this community and all that is of God. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In other words, God had a plan. He had a plan to punish the people of Israel because he prophesied that it would be so. We could back all the way up to the prophecies where they went against God and God challenged them and said, you shall be slaves in another land. It was prophesied. There was 400 years involved. And he thought, okay, now that this is the prophecy, how is it going to come about? Well, here's a good idea. How about we have this young man, Joseph, come along through a loving relationship, and he's treated better than the others, and they're jealous, and so they decide to sell him as a slave, and he goes through all of the slave situations where he's accused of adultery when he had nothing to do with it at all. He was trying to get away, and it was wrong, and it was terrible, but he somehow managed to stay in prison long enough so that he can come to the place to interpret the dreams of the king, who is Pharaoh, so that he can then be honored from the Pharaoh and become second in command and save the people. It was all part of his great plan. Let me tell you something. It was a horrible thing what those boys did. I believe it was sin. How dare they take a young man and sell their own brother to a slave? At least they didn't kill him like they had in mind. One guy stood up and stopped that fiasco from happening, but just barely. How could this be? Well, it's because of the plan of God. And a man that grew up in faith and love for the Lord, the King of all creation, recognized it. And he had enough maturity to look at his brothers and say, guys, I get it. You meant it for harm. Shame on you, but God meant it for good. This is his doing. And I'm okay with that. I love him. I serve him. He's my king. He's my God. And everything's just fine. I will love you and I'll take care of you. And they were flabbergasted. They were amazed. They were awestruck. It's interesting how the story continues from there. Because not long later, as years go, a little baby was born that was put into a basket and put down the Nile. As the numbers of the people that moved into Egypt became in the millions. 3.5 million people were set free from bondage, from the captivity that God planned for them because a baby who grew up to be Moses let them out of there as he followed after God. And you had the 10 plagues that went along with it. And the 10 plagues were so crucial because the final plague, which was the oldest, had to die. God puts the blood of the lamb over the doorpost and Jesus Christ became our sacrificial lamb. The Passover lamb that John talked about when he was about to baptize him. Look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And it all goes back to Joseph, who was treated badly by a group of brothers that hated him. How dare they? Well, I'll tell you how they dare. They were right to feel hurt. They were wrong to sin. And God used what they meant for bad to accomplish his good. I'm not the same man I used to be. My wife and I were just talking about this. I made a promise to my sister. You're going to meet her next week. I was going off to college. My sister and I were pretty close those later teen years. And she made me promise, Kevin, don't you ever change. Yeah, I'm like number one brother. I was feeling pretty good over that. My brother is a great guy, by the way. You'll meet him someday. I felt pretty privileged that she would ask me such a thing. So I made her that promise. I will never change. I've been married 27 years. I've had 3 children. Well, Tina did. I was a good coach. We've got 4 grandchildren, 2 on the way. And I'll tell you flat out with no hesitation, I'm not the same man I was when I made that promise. I'm different. And so are you. And I say that for one very important reason. For those of you who are new to this church, I just want to tell you flat out, this is not the same church it was. This church is different. It's a new body of believers because we have a whole different dynamic of people that have come together. We have a whole new personality, a whole new identity. I'm partly involved with that. And you're like, yeah, you are. You crazy farm kid doing crazy stuff growing up. And I did some really nutso things. It's a miracle I'm alive. And it's pretty cool. All you who helped found this church, thank you. Thank you. But you know as well as I do, this is not the same church it once was. It took a long road to get here. Some of that road was pretty rough. Some of it had darkness. And there were things that happened that were wrong. There were people involved. And a lot of hurt got internalized. You might be part of that trouble that took place. You may have done wrong. You may have sinned against God and against this body. Or maybe you saw the sin and you were hurt by it. And I'm going to just say this because I just feel so strongly. I don't know Pastor Brad Kelly. I have not had the opportunity to meet him personally. I've seen him. And I can't explain why, but I love this man. I love his wife. I love their son, Carson, who I have gotten to know. I don't know him. I really don't know her. But God has given me a love for them, and I pray for them. And I realize that in the background, there's a lot of political correct ways to handle things. But let's just be straight. There were things that Pastor Brad did that people didn't agree with, and it caused some troubles. But let's be honest. There are some things that you did as the people that were not right, and it caused some hurt. Two years ago, from the time that we were elected to come to be your pastor, about 2 years, maybe a little longer, more like 2.5, God started to stir in my heart and in my wife's heart that there was something coming that was going to change. I've shared this with some of you. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know if that meant I needed to do something different in my church in Clark, South Dakota. I didn't know if I was supposed to resign from my church sometime. I didn't know what was going on. And it took 2 years for me to figure it out. And here's the thing, about 2 years before we came here to candidate is the processing that you were going through with all the pain and the hurt. About 2 years of pain that you went through as a body, and I feel that pain, I see it, I've been working with you through it. And for those of you who are new, you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Praise God. Because this is not the same body that it was. Just a few short years ago. Not to say that that was bad, but God has brought us through a valley and a difficulty. Let's say it out loud. But we are family. And I'm here to stand before you as Joseph did to his brothers and say, let's get over it, let's love each other, and let's move on. What you meant for harm, God meant for good. And here's the reality. I believe without any shadow of doubt, it's the will of God that I'm standing before you today. And unfortunately, a lot of hurt went on to get me here. I can't take that away. But I can tell you that you got to do something about it. You see the title? You need to forgive. It's time to stand up and be real people. It's time to stand up and be children of God and recognize the harm was real, the harm was painful, but it got us where we want to be today. And I don't understand why those brothers had to be so mean. I don't understand why they had to sell him to slavery. Couldn't God put him on a camel and make him get lost and he doesn't want to ask directions? I mean, couldn't it be a bandit that clubbed him over the head while he's on the road to Jericho or some other place and he just gets Skyped away and he's just like a pirate that got, well, he has to be a pirate now, right? He woke up. What's that word they use when they knock you over the head and bring you on the ship? There's a word for that. Shanghai, yeah, he got shanghaied. Couldn't God do that? Yes, he could. But he didn't. He didn't. For whatever reason, he did what he did. And here we are today, able to look, and we can relate to that. We had a ministry, and I'm not going to say where it was, but we had a church ministry that just about ruined us. It hurt me so deeply, I can't even tell you. It took 2 years for me to realize how hurt I really was. I get it. If it wasn't for the call of God that I can give you specific details to the very altar and the place that I stood, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be driving truck for the oil factories and all those different places for all I know. I'd be on the oil patch wondering if I can ever clean my ears out enough from all the cuss words I'm hearing every time I go out, right? It's a tough place. I could do it. I could do it like that. But that wasn't God's plan. And we went through the pain and the hurt that we went through. I walked away from that position that I resigned, and I told Tina, the call is real. The call is real. I'll never leave. There was a part of her that would have been glad if I said, I'm done with church. As a matter of fact, there was a time when she actually said, please don't ever take another church ever again. Don't ever be a pastor again. You think it's hard being a pastor? Try being a pastor's wife. I'm sorry. I got it good. It's a tough place to be. But we had to forgive. And recognize there's a reason for this. There's a reason why we go through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. There's a reason why we're able to stand before the Lord and recognize, I don't get it, I don't know why, but I understand this is your will and here I am. God forgave you. That's point number one. Christ forgave us our sins. Colossians 2, verse 13 through 15. I pray one day that me and Pastor Brad can be friends. I don't mind saying that publicly. I don't know the man. I hope I one day do. And if it never happens, that's the Lord's whatever. But I just want you to know that I feel for this family. I feel for you. And as much as I want to pour my love into your life, I want to pour it into all people. And it doesn't matter the backgrounds. And I know what you're like, boy, that would be awkward. I'm like, I don't care. I'm good with awkward. I'm just awkward anyway. I mean, look at me. I'm just a strange dude. I'm okay with that. If you only knew what I really thought all the time, wow. Growing up, I always had something to say, I just never said it. Now I happen to say a lot. Verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and have disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Christ forgave our sins. If you look at chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Well, how was that, Lord? I died on a cross. So you shall forgive others. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Once again, there it is. How should I forgive, Lord? With your life. You are not the focus of your life. Your pain is not the focus of your life. Your joy is not the focus of your life. Jesus Christ is the focus of your life. And as you walk through this life that He's given you to enjoy, you're going to have hardships. You're going to see sorrows. You're going to have someone mistreat you, and you're going to have someone hate you. You're going to have someone sell you into the slave trade, and somehow, but some way, you end up second to Pharaoh, and there you are with an opportunity to slap the face of the one that hurt, and you're going to not do it because you love them as Christ loved you. And you're going to say, it's okay. What you meant for harm, God meant for good. Let's hug. Let's shake hands. Let's make up. Let's move on. I will treat you as a brother because you are. I will treat you as my sister because you are. And I will take care of your needs as I'm able. I forgive you. Matthew chapter 6. Forgiveness is not optional. I'm spending a lot of time trying to convince you that forgiveness is good, right? I shouldn't even have to do that. I should have just gone right on to point number two, but I just felt compelled to plead my case. Did you know that unforgiveness is poison? You've all heard this. Maybe you haven't. Use it for an illustration. Unforgiveness is a poison that you drink, thinking it's going to hurt the other person. Ooh, I'm going to get you. Ooh, I sure hope you learn your lesson. That's unforgiveness. And here's the funny thing. It's not really funny, but it's just weird. Did you know nine times out of ten, the people I've worked through things with, the other person doesn't even know that they've offended? They have no idea that you're trying to get them with your unforgiveness. They're walking through life thinking life is good. Life is good. Oh, hey, friend, how you doing? I can't believe they just did that to me. I can't believe that they actually said hello to me. What gives? They don't know you're mad. All the husbands said amen. Come on, guys. Let's be brave. Let's stand up and say we don't get it sometimes. We're like, what did I do? That's a whole nother lesson. Sorry. Well, I'm not giving him the satisfaction. Please do. We just don't get it sometimes. Just tell us what you really want to hear, right? Tell us what you're really thinking, please. Oh, that's a whole nother lesson. And we can go both ways on that one, amen? Did I read the verse yet? Okay, sorry. Matthew 6, verse 14. We are going to end this with prayer, by the way. I'm just going to give you that forewarning. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. God is awesome. But, verse 15. If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ooh, whoa. Now, intellectually, Pastor, what do you think that really means? Does that mean you lose your salvation or just your reward? I don't know. I'm not going to test it. Come on. Now, personally, I think we're talking salvation here. That's my opinion. I could be wrong. You might be right if you say, well, I just think it means God's going to, you know, discipline you and give you a really good spanking. You know, sometimes we just need a good spanking, kids. Sometimes it's a right thing to do. All the parents said amen, right? No, maybe not. I don't know. I know spanking's so controversial. Hey, it worked on me, right? I ain't doing that. Dad'll get me with the belt. No way. And he always did it with love, by the way. And he did. I'm serious. He did it with love. One time he cried as he spanked me, and I wasn't crying. I was like, what's up with that? I don't get it. Well, later I got it because I became a daddy. If you do not forgive your brother, God says he won't forgive you. Do you want to mess with that? I don't. Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 3 and 4. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. Good advice, right? If he repents, forgive him. Why do we struggle with this one? If he sins against you 7 times a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. Well, he just was not sincere. I know it. That 3rd time for sure wasn't real. So, I really don't care. Forgive. It's not up to you to decide if a forgiveness is actually sincere. That's between him and God. Come on. That's not your place. Am I in the place of God, Joseph said? Well, I know I'm not. So if someone says, I'm sorry, guess what? I forgive you. In the same day, he comes back. I did it again. I called you whatever. Can you forgive me? Sure, I forgive you. Please don't test me on this. I don't want to. I'm sorry. I just found a little humor in that. 7 times a day, really? Well, you know the story of Peter when he's going before the Lord and he says, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? 7 times? And he's really putting it out there. I mean, he's going above and beyond because the law requires 3 times, by the way. And so he's going all out and saying 7. And Jesus looks at him and says, no, not 7. 70 times 7. In other words, you always forgive. Always. And I want to tell you why the Lord's brought this to my attention. Why this is a verse and a point that we have to cover. There are people that were involved with the past of this church, both the good and the bad, the ugly and the awesome. And I believe that God wants healing in this church. He wants us to be forgiving people. He wants to look at the past and say, it's over, it's behind us. Let's move together forward for the kingdom of God so that we can see the blessings of God fall. Because if you're not willing to forgive the past, and I don't care who it is and what they've done, if you can't forgive them, then God can't use you for his kingdom. You are standing in the way of revival, and I won't stand for it. As your pastor, I'm telling you, we need to move forward with forgiveness. We need to come together as a family of believers and love one another. And I know that there's those people that you just don't know if you can trust. And that trust is a whole other matter. Trust is a completely different thing than forgiveness. I hope you understand that. If you have a pattern and you're here today, you have a pattern of hurting people with what you say, and you ask forgiveness, I'm going to forgive you. But I'm also going to be aware that you could do it again, and I'm going to be careful. I'm going to be careful, but I'm going to love you, and I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to do all that I can to bring us all together as a family of God. And that's all I can do. 1960s was the last time this church was thriving. I was born in 1970. That's a long time ago. Well, guess what? 2017 has come. God is going to do something with this body of believers that's going to outdo anything of our past, because it's just right for His timing. But we got to take this first step. If you will forgive, you will find the blessings of God. Power in prayer is linked to forgiveness. I'm just going to close with the one last verse, Mark chapter 11, and then we're going to pray together. And I realize this message is different, the pattern is different, and that's okay. But we're not going to end without coming together as a family. And I hope you still love me. I really do. Mark 11. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." It's interesting, isn't it? "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." God says you can say to the mountain, "Be moved from your place," but if you do not have forgiveness, if you withhold forgiveness, if you do not allow for that burden to be let loose from you, it'll never happen. The power of prayer is connected to a forgiving spirit. That's why he ended his thought with those words. "I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it and it will be done. And whenever you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him." Why did he bring it up? Because it stops the move of God. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Since we've been here, first week of February, we have found blessing after blessing in our midst. We have received and seen and wondered and were awestruck by the love you have in this assembly. And it's only as of late that things of the past have started to rise up. Concerns and hurts and pain are beginning to come forth. And I'm here to stop that from becoming a destroyer of this body, because the enemy wants to use it against us. And today is our hour to forgive. If you're new here, you may not get all of that. Take it for the future. Someone's going to hurt your feelings. I count on it. You can count on it. I guarantee it. And you're going to forgive them, because of who is within you. We're going to come together as a body. I'm going to end the message here so the recording can stop.